Allah presents an example. In the previous ayah, Allah says, "So do not assert similarities to Allah. Indeed, Allah knows and you do not know." But here, Allah presents an example because He can. He says, "A slave who is owned and unable to do a thing, and he to whom we have provided from us good provision, so he spends from it secretly and publicly, can they be equal? A slave who has nothing, and another one whom Allah has provided everything, and he spends on others secretly and publicly, can they be equal?" Alhamdulillah, praise to Allah, but most of them do not know. So we are the slaves who have nothing, who own nothing, and it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who spends on us day and night. How can they be equal? And Allah presents an example of two men, one of them dumb and unable to do a thing, while he is a burden to his guardian. Wherever he directs him, he brings no good. Is he equal to one who commands justice while he is on a straight path? So these are two examples. The first example is that of shirk. Allah says this creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this creation that you worship, it owns nothing, it has nothing, it can give nothing. And yet it is Allah who spends upon that creation of Allah. The so-called idols, Allah says Allah takes care of them as well. It is Allah who has created them. Allah owns everything and He provides for them and He provides for you. How can they be equal? Then Allah says, take the example of two men. One of them is dumb, cannot speak, cannot understand, unable to do a thing. He is a burden to his guardian. Wherever he directs him, he brings no good. So someone who has no understanding, is not smart, not intelligent, and he has no abilities, Allah says, how can this person be equal to the one who commands justice while he is on the straight path? This is an example of someone who is a believer, who believes, and someone who does not believe. A person who doesn't believe to Allah is useless, brings no good. Allah says, in Allah's eyes, these two are not equal. And to Allah belongs the unseen aspects of the heavens and the earth. And the command of the hour, the last hour, is not but as a glance of the eye, or even nearer. Indeed, Allah is over all things competent. The Prophet, peace be upon him, put his two fingers together, the forefinger and the middle finger. And he said, between him and the hour is that much time. Meaning nothing else remains now. Now that the Quran is here, now that the Prophet ﷺ has already come and left, nothing else remains, no major event except the last hour. Allah says, and Allah has extracted you from the wombs of your mothers, not knowing a thing, and He made for you hearing and vision and hearts, meaning intellect, that perhaps you would be grateful. Do they not see the birds controlled in the atmosphere of the sky? None holds them except Allah. Indeed, in that are signs for a people who believe. How is it that they can fly? What makes it happen? What are these aerodynamics and who designed them? Allah says, and Allah has made for you from your homes a place of rest, and made for you from the hides of animals tents, which you find light on your day of travel and your day of encampment. Allah says, Allah has made this for you, and He has guided you to use those skins as tents, so that you can easily carry them. Allah is so affectionate, He has thought of the smallest thing that we will need. Allah says, you will find it light on your day of travel and your day of encampment, and from their wool, fur and hair is furnishing and enjoyment for a time. And Allah has made for you from that which He has created shadows, meaning shade, and has made for you from the mountains shelters, and has made for you garments which protect you from the heat, and garments which protect you from enemy in battle, meaning coats of mail. Thus does He complete His favor upon you, that you might submit to Him. Allah says, كَذَلِكَ يُتِمُّ نِعْمَتَهُ عَلَيْكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُسْلِمُونَ. Why would we not? Why would we not submit to Allah when He is the one who has created all of this for us, and He has taken care of us, even the smallest things that we might need, we might like, we might enjoy, the beauty of the animals when we see at sunset, and the lightness of the tents that we carry, every single thing, the animals that carry our burden that we would not have been able to do. Allah was caring. He provided for us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, why? So that once someone is grateful, they will submit. Allah says, but if they turn away, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then only upon you is responsibility for clear notification. They recognize the favor of Allah, then they deny it. And most of them are disbelievers. May Allah save us from that. Ameen. And mention the day when we will resurrect from every nation a witness, meaning their prophet. Then it will not be permitted to the disbelievers to apologize or make excuses, nor will they be asked to appease Allah. No excuses that day. And when those who wronged see the punishment, it will not be lightened for them, nor will they be reprieved. And when those who associated others with Allah see their so-called partners, they will say, our Lord, these are our partners to you, whom we used to invoke besides you. But they will throw at them the statement, the so-called partners will throw the statement, indeed you are liars. And they will impart to Allah that day their submission. They will seek to submit to Allah. People will want to do sajda to Allah but will not be able to do so because they did not do sajda to Allah on earth. They will want to accept Islam at that moment. But Allah says, and lost from them is what they used to invent. Those who disbelieved and averted others from the way of Allah, we will increase them in punishment over their punishment for what corruption they were causing. And mention the day when we will resurrect among every nation a witness over them from themselves, meaning their prophet, and we will bring you, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as a witness over these, meaning your nation. And we have sent down to you the book as clarification for all things. وَهُدًى وَرَحْمَةٌ وَبُشْرَى لِلْمُسْلِمِينَ And a guidance and mercy and good tidings, good news for the Muslims, for those who submit. Those who have submitted themselves to Allah, this book it gives them good news. It encourages them. It makes them happy. A goal, something to look forward to. So what is this Hudan, this grand, great guidance, the ultimate guidance, the ultimate mercy, this great news for Muslimin? How do you get that? Allah says in the next ayah, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ وَإِيتَاءِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى وَيَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ وَالْبَغِي يَعِذُكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَذَكَّرُونَ Indeed, Allah orders justice and good conduct and giving to relatives and forbids immorality and bad conduct and oppression. He admonishes you that perhaps you will be reminded. This is the most comprehensive ayah about the teachings of Islam. They're broad, they're simple, and yet they cover every single thing. Allah says, Inna Allaha Ya'muru, indeed Allah commands. What? Allah orders three things and Allah forbids three things in this ayah. What does He order? Inna Allaha Ya'muru bil Adl, Al Adl, justice. Adl means to equate things, to make things equal. The first Adl is toward Allah. The justice toward Allah is that He is given His due right. He is the only deity worthy of worship and no one else. Adl is that we follow His commands. Adl is that we are grateful to Him. Adl is that we establish our five daily prayers. Adl is that we accept His command and fast in the month of Ramadan. Adl is that we do Hajj if we are capable. Adl is that we always pay our zakah, calculate it and give it on time. Adl is to believe in Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. Adl is that we follow Him as a teacher is followed by a student. Justice means to give someone their due right. After Allah, we have to care about ourselves. Adl is, first and foremost, that we know our place in the realm of life, in the realm of existence, that we are slaves of Allah. That is justice. Adl is that we take care of our physical health, we take care of our psychological health, we take care of our spiritual health, and we take care of our mental health. That is Adl. Then we need to practice Adl as related to those around us. Our spouses, our parents, our children, our neighbors. Neighbors have a great right in Islam. Our colleagues, the citizens of our cities, those of our countries, and those of the world. The atmosphere, the environment has a right upon us. It needs to be treated with adl. Other creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the animals, they need to be treated with adl. People have rights upon us. Those need to be given to them with adl, with justice. Allah commands us to do justice, even if it is against our parents and our brothers and sisters, our family members. Allah commands us to stand up for justice, even if it is against a rich person or against a poor person. So Allah does not recommend, but Allah commands al-adl. And then Allah commands wal-ihsan. Ihsan is from husn, beauty, to work at the level of excellence. This is beyond adl. We learned Allah commands us not just to give the mahar to the wife when you divorce her, but to give her a parting gift as well. That is ihsan. To give beyond what is required. What is required is something we have to do. But why does Allah say, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُ بِالْإِحْسَانِ as well? Why? Don't we want to strive for excellence? We strive for excellence in every part of our lives. For every single thing we strive for excellence, we encourage our children to strive for excellence. Why not seeking the pleasure of Allah? Allah commands us to do ihsan because it raises the position of a believer. It raises the position of a believer from a muttaqi to a muhsin. And what is ihsan? To worship Allah as if you can see Him. That is ihsan. Excellent conduct. We start with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Go beyond what He has ordained us, what He has made fard upon us, obligatory upon us. Go beyond that. Go beyond in your relationship with your parents. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders with parents ihsan. Ihsan is that you are good to someone who is bad to you. That you forgive someone who is hostile toward you. That is ihsan. That you join with those who cut off from you. And then Allah orders giving to the relatives. Wa ita'i zil qurba. Now, this would fall under al-adl and it would also fall under al-ihsan. But Allah highlights it. He pulls it out. Why? Because in our hurry to do al-adl and ihsan, we often forget those who are nearest to us. And those who are nearest to us deserve the most from us. When a person gives to relatives, the sadaqah, the reward that is given, written down for that person, is double that of when he or she gives to other people, other than relatives. Allah wants us to have strong family bonds. And it is incumbent upon us to look out for the less fortunate within our own families first. So Allah orders three things: justice, ihsan, excellent conduct, and giving to relatives. And then Allah in the same ayah forbids three things. وَيَنْهَى, He forbids, عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ, from fahsha, immorality, vulgarity, وَالْمُنْكَرِ, and all bad conduct, وَالْبَغِي, and oppression. So three things. First, Allah forbids us from al-fahsha. Al-fahsha means to go beyond acceptable behavior. To break all bonds of acceptable public behavior. Al-fahsha. Fahashi, it can be internal, it can be external. Allah orders us to give up all kinds of fahsha in the Quran. That which is internal, batinahu, and zahirahu. That which is outward as well, things that people can see, that are reflected in our actions and also those that are in our thoughts. Screaming loudly in public, calling people names, looking down upon them, insulting them in public, this is all fahsha. But also fahsha is vulgarity, indecency. Indecency in what? Allah mentions indecency of the eyes. Allah mentions that eyes must be lowered, the gaze must be lowered. Do not look at things that are indecent. Do not participate in activities that are indecent. Do not participate in social gatherings where indecent behavior is occurring. The free mixing of men and women, socializing, dancing together. Subhanallah, is this Islam? Is this the Islam that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came with? No. May Allah forgive all of our ummah. Ameen, ya Rabbal Alameen. Fahsha is in the mode that we dress. Fahsha is in what we watch on TV. Fahsha is in the movies. Fahsha is in some of the words of the songs that our children listen to. And we will see the importance of this word that has been highlighted by the next word. The next word is wal munkar. Munkar is all bad conduct. But isn't fahsha part of munkar? So Allah has forbidden al-fahsha wal-munkar wal-baghi. But al-fahsha is part of al-munkar. Munkar means everything that people across the board generally think is wrong. Like dishonesty, lying, cheating, stealing, killing, zina, adultery, fornication, all of that. But Allah specifically mentions fahsha and he mentions it first. Because a Muslim would never ever practice fahsha. It's against the nature of a true believer. They are not attracted to fahsha, they're repulsed by it. They feel very uncomfortable by it. And then Allah forbids us from al-munkar, all bad conduct. And munkar and ma'ruf, ma'ruf means recognized good. Munkar means recognized evil. These are recognized good and evil across nations, across cultures, across religions. What everyone thinks is bad, that is al-munkar. Allah forbids us from all of that. And then Allah says He forbids us from al-baghi. Al-baghi means oppression. To be rebellious. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said that He has forbidden oppression upon Himself. And He has forbidden oppression upon us as well. Oppression is to badmouth people. Oppression is backbiting. Oppression is cruelty, injustice, killing without right, causing insecurity in society by planting bombs, killing people. That is oppression. Discrimination is oppression. Bigotry is oppression. Racism is oppression. And the least form of oppression, the Prophet ﷺ said, to show someone a stick, to shake a stick in their face, that is oppression. Subhanallah. To always borrow something from someone and not put it back in its proper place, that is oppression. It causes them pain. To leave the restroom dirty after yourself, that is oppression for the person who is going to come in after you. This ayah covers every single thing in Islam. It covers the highest morals and the lowest morals. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders us to the highest morals. He orders us to go above and beyond for ihsan, to try and strive for the very, very best. Why? We will not be able to achieve it all the time. But our goals need to be high. The goals of a believer are always high. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَعْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ وَإِيتَاءِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى وَيَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ وَالْبَغِي يَعِظُكُمْ. He admonishes you, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَذَكَّرُونَ, so that perhaps you will be reminded. And then Allah says, وَعَوْفُ بِعَهْدِ اللَّهِ إِذَا عَاهَدْتُمْ, and fulfill the covenant of Allah when you have taken it, O believers, and do not break oaths after the confirmation, while you have made Allah over you a security. Indeed, Allah knows what you do not know. So keep your oaths. When you contract an oath, when you swear by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah says it is incumbent and obligatory upon us to fulfill our oaths. The greatest oath is that we will worship no one except Allah and we will obey Him unconditionally. Allahumma ja'alna minhum ya rabbal alameen. Allah says, and do not be like she who untwisted her spun thread after it was strong by taking your oaths as means of deceit between you, because one community is more plentiful in number and wealth than another community. This is how important oaths are. Allah says, do not be like a woman who spins thread. You know, when we spin thread, like in the olden times and sometimes, actually even nowadays in different parts of the world, people will spin thread with their own hands. And it's a very long, drawn out and tedious process. It's a very fine and delicate process. So a woman spends hours and hours and hours to spin just a few yards of thread. And then she takes an oath and she breaks it. So Allah says, you have broken all the good deeds that you have done before, meaning that this woman now tediously untwists the very thread that she has taken hours and hours to twist. Subhanallah, who would do that? So breaking our oaths for worldly purposes, for worldly advantages, because you are pressurized by someone who has more wealth or they are greater in number than another community. So in order to please someone and take advantage of that situation, a person breaks their oath, a promise that he or she has made. Allah says it is as if you have simply untwisted this thread that you took hours and hours to make. And our amal, our good deeds, take a lot of effort and a lot of time. And that opportunity is also given from Allah. What if that opportunity does not arise again? What if I become like the person who gives money just to show off? You know the example in Surah Ar-Ra'd? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, like a man who has orchards with running waters through it, but he is old, and a storm comes and wipes everything out, burns everything to the ground, and he has children, but they're too young, too weak to rebuild for him. You have lost everything. This is how important it is. There is no iman on one who does not keep his promises. That's what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. Let's look into ourselves. Allah says, Allah only tries you thereby. Allah tries us by putting us in a place where it becomes difficult to make a decision, where we are pulled by worldly advantage, because we can see the results of that, and we want to give up our oaths, we want to break our oaths. Allah says, remember, all of these choices, when you have difficult choices in front of you, every single one of them is a trial from Allah. We need to pass this test. And we will only be able to pass this test if we truly believe in Akhirah, in the hereafter. Because we will not be able to see the advantage over here, perhaps. But we will see it in Akhirah for sure. So Allah says, and He will surely make clear to you on the day of resurrection that over which you used to differ. So do not compromise your religion because you're pressurized by someone else. This is an oath that you have taken to Allah. Do not change your religion for the sake of anything that you see in this world, no matter how grand or how impressive. Allah says, and if Allah had willed, He could have made you of one religion, but He causes to stray whom He wills and guides whom He wills, and you will surely be questioned about what you used to do. This is a warning. Allah says again, and do not take your oaths as means of deceit between you, lest a foot slip after it was once firm, and you would taste evil in this world for what people you diverted from the way of Allah, and you would have in the hereafter a great punishment. This refers to those who would become dissuaded from Islam as a result of a Muslim's deceit and treachery. Allah says, don't do that, because then people think this is what Islam is like, this is what Muslims are like. And they turn away from Islam. They're repulsed by it. Not because of the message itself, but because of the people who follow Islam. We carry with us the Quran. we have to live up to the Quran to the best of our ability, because we become the reflection of the message of Allah. You and I, each one of us, are a reflection of the message of Allah. So let's look at our reflection. Allah reminds us again, and do not exchange the covenant of Allah for a small price. Indeed, what is with Allah is best for you, if only you could know. Don't sell your religion. Do not sell your deen. Whatever you have will end. In this world, Allah says, whatever we have, it's going to end. But what Allah has is lasting, and we will surely give those who were patient their reward according to the best of what they used to do. بِأَحْسَنِ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. Allah will overlook the mistakes that we have made, the weak decisions that we made. But Allah will give us reward according to the best of our actions. That is simply incredible. Normally, on a test paper, for example, all our answers are taken into account. The best ones, the ones that are, you know, not so accurate, everything is computed together. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us a reward according to the best of our answers, the best of our actions, the best of our choices. There is no one generous like Allah. Allah says, whoever does righteousness, whether male or female, while he is a believer, we will surely cause him to live a good life, meaning in this dunya, in this world, a good life, and we will surely give them their reward in the hereafter according to the best of what they used to do. Allah says it again, in case we were not sure. Alhamdulillah. فَإِذَا قَرَأَتَ الْقُرْآنَ فَاسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. So, when you recite the Qur'an, first seek refuge in Allah from Satan the Expelled. Why does Allah say, so, when you recite the Qur'an? Because this is a conjunction. It is related to the ayah that came before it. The ayah that came before it tells us that we need to do righteousness and try to do the best according to our abilities. And obviously, the guidance as to what is right and what is wrong is going to come from the Qur'an. So shaitan wants to interfere with us when we recite the Qur'an. So every single time Allah says, when you recite the Qur'an, first seek refuge with Allah from shaitan. Allah says, indeed there is for him no authority over those who have believed and rely upon their Lord. Two attributes. Those who truly believe in Allah, meaning their belief is reflected in their actions. And two, they trust Allah. يَتَوَكَّلُونَ. They trust that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to make everything alright. That Allah will protect me. Allah says He is not going to have any authority over you whatsoever. So when you recite the Quran, seek refuge with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And know that shaitan is going to try to interfere. But then Allah will help, because we trust in Him, because we believe in Him, so that the right message comes across. It is not muddled up by shaitan. Remember, Allah says that shaitan beautifies the actions of the disbelievers to them. Shaitan beautifies the actions of the hypocrites to them. Shaitan wants to interfere with our understanding of the Quran. And this is why it is important that command comes directly from Allah to say, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنِ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ whenever we recite the Qur'an. Allah says His authority, shaitan's authority, is only over those who take Him as an ally and those who through Him associate others with Allah. So shaitan has a direct influence on two kinds of people. Those who take the wali as shaitan. Their wali becomes shaitan. They start worshipping shaitan. They start following shaitan. In fact, people don't normally know that they're following shaitan. They're not self-aware. But how would I know if I disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Because shaitan tells me to do the opposite. And Allah says to do one thing, shaitan tells me to do the opposite. If I am obeying shaitan, then I have made shaitan as a wali. And I think I'll be safe, I'll be okay, if I follow the opposite of what Allah is saying. That is to make shaitan the wali. يَتَوَلَّوْنَهُ. Allah says in the second kind of people, those who do shirk. Any kind of shirk, it opens the door to shaitan, because this is where ultimately he wants us to go. Because why? Because Allah will forgive every single thing that a person does that's evil. But Allah will not forgive shirk. If a person dies and they have not repented to Allah from shirk, Allah will not forgive that. So ultimately, shaitan wants us to fall into some kind of shirk. May Allah save us from that. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. So Allah says, and when we substitute a verse in place of a verse, and Allah is most knowing of what He sends down, they say, you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, are but an inventor of lies. But most of them do not know. So when Allah abrogates an ayah, when He supersedes it with another ayah, He cancels the hukum, the ruling of the previous one, brings in another one. The people who obviously look for anything to criticize the Quran with, they say, you, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, have just made this up, because one day you say one thing, the other day you say something else. Remember, all they want are excuses. So anything that happens, they seize upon it as an excuse to deny the Quran, to make fun of the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Allah says that whatever comes in the Quran, the ayat that come in the Quran, they increase the iman of the believers. Right? Zadatum imana. It increases their iman. Allah says, but most of them do not know. Say, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the pure spirit, Jibreel alayhi salam, has brought it down from your Lord in truth to make firm those who believe, and as guidance and good news to the Muslims. And we certainly know that they say it is only a human being who teaches him, meaning the Prophet. The tongue of the one they refer to is foreign. And this recitation, meaning the Quran, is in a clear Arabic language. Having seen the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam speaking with a foreign man on occasion, the Quraysh accused him of repeating the man's words, saying he has learned all of this from him, because they knew that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not know how to read or write. But Allah calls them out on that. Allah says, if he is in fact listening to a foreigner, the language of the Quran is in beautiful, perfect Arabic. So we see again that they simply would latch onto something to criticize or to make fun of the Quran. Their criticisms actually did not have any substance. Allah says, indeed, those who do not believe in the verses of Allah, Allah will not guide them, and for them is a painful punishment. They only invent falsehood who do not believe in the verses of Allah, and it is those who are the liars. Whoever disbelieves in it, meaning denies Allah after his belief, meaning a person who has turned apostate, or a person who accepted the previous scriptures but not the Quran, Allah says, except for the one who is forced to renounce his religion while his heart is sincere, is secure in faith. But those who willingly open their breasts to disbelieve, upon them is wrath from Allah, and for them is a great punishment. Ammar bin Yasir radiallahu anhu's parents were tortured and killed. This was early on in Makkah. He himself was tortured so much that he was forced to denounce Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Islam. Afterwards, he went to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam being very upset. He was so upset at what he had been forced to do. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked him what was the condition of his heart. He said he was satisfied with iman. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam allowed him to repeat the same thing if he was tortured again. This was a rukhsa, or an excuse. Some sahaba took the harder way. Khabbab bin Arab radiallahu anhu, he was tortured with smoldering rocks, but he did not renounce Islam. Bilal radiallahu anhu, in the heat of the desert, a huge stone was kept on his chest, but he kept calling Ahad, Ahad, one, one. Each part of Habib bin Zaid bin Asim's body was cut off one by one, simply so that he would accept Musaylimah Kazzab as a prophet. He kept refusing until he died. Today, we cannot even bear little problems. Today we say something, but we do something entirely different. So Allah says, if someone renounces Islam, gives up Islam, and those who willingly open their breasts. So Allah says, the excuse is only for those who are forced, but their hearts are secure in faith. But those who willingly open their chests to disbelief, upon them is wrath from Allah, and for them is a great punishment. That is because they preferred the worldly life over the hereafter, and that Allah does not guide the disbelieving people. Those are the ones over whose hearts and hearing and vision Allah has sealed, and it is those who are the heedless. وَهُمْ غَافِلُونَ وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْغَافِلُونَ. Assuredly it is they in the hereafter who will be the losers. Then indeed your Lord, to those who emigrated after they had been compelled, meaning to renounce their religion, and thereafter fought for the cause of Allah and were patient. Indeed your Lord after that is forgiving and merciful. Patience. Have you noticed that throughout all of this, throughout all the surahs that we have read, throughout the Quran, this one stream continues, this one idea, the stream of patience. Allah says, on the day when every soul will come disputing for itself, pleading for itself, and every soul will be fully compensated for what it did, and they will not be wronged. They will not be treated unjustly. And Allah presents an example. A city like Makkah, meaning Makkah, which was safe and secure, its provision coming to it in abundance from every location, but it denied the favors of Allah. So Allah made it taste the envelopment of hunger and fear for what they had been doing. So the kuffar suffered a famine when they were opposing Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and there had certainly come to them a messenger from among themselves, but they denied him. They recognized him. He was one of them. So punishment overtook them while they were wrongdoers. Then eat of what Allah has provided for you, which is lawful and good, and be grateful for the favor of Allah, for it is indeed Him that you worship. Eating halal and tayyib is crucial to our worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says He has only forbidden to you dead animals, meaning those not slaughtered or hunted expressly for food, blood, the flesh of swine, and that which has been dedicated to other than Allah. But whoever is forced by necessity, neither desiring it nor transgressing its limit, then indeed Allah is forgiving and merciful. And do not say about what your tongues assert of untruth, this is lawful and this is unlawful, to invent falsehood about Allah. Indeed, those who invent falsehood about Allah will not succeed. Do not create your own rules about your religion. Allah says, مَتَاعٌ قَلِيلٌ وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. It is but a brief enjoyment when people create their own religion, their own rules and principles, and they will have a painful punishment. And to those who are Jews, we have prohibited that which we related to you before, and we did not wrong them thereby, but they were wronging themselves. May Allah have mercy upon us and forgive us. Ameen. Allah tells us that the difficulties in the eating principles, the rules that were given to the Jews, they came about because of the behavior of the Jews. Because they continued to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah made their deen harder and harder for them. Subhanallah, may Allah have mercy upon us. Allah says, then indeed your Lord, to those who have done wrong out of ignorance and then repent after that and correct themselves, indeed your Lord thereafter is forgiving and merciful. Allah has told this to us before as well in a previous surah. Allah says, ثُمَّ إِنَّ رَبَّكَ لِلَّذِينَ عَمِلُوا السُّوءَ بِجَهَالَةٍ. People who do su' or evil while they are ignorant, بِجَهَالَةٍ. Jahala can mean a person doesn't know that this was wrong, that this was haram, that Allah does not like this, He has forbidden it. Or a person could have forgotten. Or a person simply ignored it because they suddenly were overcome by pressure, or they were overcome by an internal need or emotion, and they could not suppress that. So that is jahala. But Allah says, ثُمَّ تَابُوا. Then they repent, they turn back to Allah. مِن بَعْدِ ذَلِكَ وَأَصْلَهُ. And they try to reform themselves. They don't do this again. They stop doing what they were doing before. And they try to become better. إِنَّ رَبَّكَ مِن بَعْدِهَا. Indeed, your Rabb after this, لَغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. He is surely forgiving and merciful. Allah brings the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam again. Allah says, indeed, Abraham was a comprehensive leader. كَانَ أُمَّةً قَانِتًا. He was a nation in and of himself, devoutly obedient to Allah, قَانِتًا, حَنِيفًا, inclining toward truth, turning away from everything else and focusing simply on Allah, وَلَمْ يَكُ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ, and he was not of those who associate others with Allah. Remember, the mushrikeen of Makkah held him, Ibrahim alayhi salam, in honor as well. Allah says, شَاكِرًا لِعَنْعُمِهِ, he was grateful for Allah's favors, for his favors. So because he was grateful for the favors of Allah, he worshipped Allah alone and did not associate anyone with him. So if you, O Kuffar of Makkah, say that you honor Ibrahim, then follow his religion. Allah says, he, Allah, chose him and guided him to a straight path. And we gave him good in this world. And indeed, in the hereafter, he will be among the righteous. Then we reveal to you, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to follow the religion of Abraham, inclining toward truth, and he was not of those who associate with Allah. So ask about the other prophets. What was the religion of Yaqub alayhi salam? What was the religion of Ibrahim alayhi salam? Ishaq alayhi salam? Lut alayhi salam? Nuh alayhi salam? What was their religion? They were not Christians and they were not Jews. We are upon the religion of those previous prophets. Allah says, the Sabbath was only appointed for those who deferred over it. And indeed, your Lord will judge between them on the day of resurrection concerning that over which they used to defer. Allah had appointed Friday for Musa alayhi salam as a Sabbath, but the children of Israel opposed him and they made Saturday as a Sabbath for themselves. So this was a criticism, another one that was coming from the Jews who were living in Medina. Well, your Sabbath is Friday, well, our Sabbath is Saturday, so how can we be from the same religion? So Allah gives the answer to that. And then Allah says, أُدْعُوا إِلَىٰ سَبِيلِ رَبِّكَ بِالْحِكْمَةِ وَالْمُعِظَةِ الْحَسَنَةِ, invite to the way of your Lord with wisdom and good instruction. بِالْحِكْمَةِ, wisdom. What does wisdom mean? How do we invite with wisdom? Meaning you instruct people, you invite them according to the level of understanding, according to the circumstances, the occasion. One occasion is different from another occasion. A social occasion is different from an interfaith dialogue. Well, mu'iza is from wa'az, good instruction, something that is going to soften the hearts. Well, mu'izatil hasanati, the best kind of instruction. And argue with them in a way that is best. Allah tells us, وَجَادِلْهُمْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنَ. He uses the word ahsan twice, in al-hasana and also even when you're arguing with them. So the instruction has to be the most beautiful, the best one, the one that is going to soften their hearts. It's well prepared and well thought out and used according to the occasion, the language, the tone, all of that is taken into account. And then Allah says, even when you're having an argument going back and forth, like in a discussion, a tame discussion, then do it in the best possible manner. Don't lose your temper. Do not be sarcastic. Do not criticize their religion. Simply teach them what is your religion. Touch their hearts. Allah says, Inna Rabbaka huwa a'lamu biman dalla an sabilihi. Indeed, your Lord is most knowing of who has strayed from his way. Allah knows most of who has strayed from his way, and he is most knowing of who is rightly guided. And if you punish an enemy, O believers, punish with an equivalent of that with which you were harmed. Beauty, adl, justice, al-hasana, husn. This is Islam. Allah says, even in rules, in a military engagement, there are rules that you must follow. You must not retaliate with more than what you have suffered. Allah says, but if you are patient, it is better for those who are patient. Don't retaliate. Allah says, وَلَئِن صَبَرْتُمْ لَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لِلصَّابِرِينَ. In a battle, in war, Allah says, if you are patient, it is better. You don't have to retaliate. You don't have to take revenge. Be patient. Why? Inna Allaha ma'a as-sabirin. And Allah says He is with those who are patient. And elsewhere in the Quran, Allah says that He is going to give the patient reward bighayri hisab, without any hisab, without any reckoning, without account. Then Allah says, He orders His beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, wasbir, wasbir, wasbir wa ma sabruka illa billah. And be patient, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and your patience is not but through Allah. That means that once a person tries to exert patience, she must know that Allah is with her at once, at that moment. His power and strength is with her. Allah says, and do not grieve over them, and do not be in distress over what they conspire. إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ مُحْسِنُونَ. Indeed, Allah is with those who fear Him, and He is with those who are muhsinun, ihsan. Again, ihsan. Allah orders us to do ihsan. Allah wants to see us as muhsinin, as those who practice at the level of ihsan. Our bar is very low. Allah's bar is very high. He will be proud of us. He wants to be proud of us. He wants us to make Him happy. Allah wants to see us reach the highest of goals. Allah says He is with those people who have taqwa, but they go beyond the taqwa. They do more than what is required. They don't just fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They also love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Many of the things that they do simply what? To seek what? Mardatillah. To seek the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is ihsan. To worship Allah as if He can see you. And if not that, then know that you can see Him. Allahumma ja'alna minhum ya rabbal alameen. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka anta samiul alim. Watub alayna innaka anta tawabur rahim. Birahmatika ya arhamar rahimin. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Alhamdulillah, this is the end of the 14th juz.